Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the many paths to transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though that might feel counterintuitive, just like the nightingale singing out in the dark. Thanks for joining me today. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I am delighted to have you with me today. Later, I'll be talking about the health benefits of salt and reviewing a product that allows us to use an ancient health therapy in the comfort of our home. But first, burnout. Did you know that recent research shows that women are more susceptible to burnout than men? A study by Mental Health UK suggests that the pressures women face when they're balancing work and family and all manner of expectations that society throws at them, it all contributes to these higher rates. But if you're thinking that burnout is just a case of being overtired and having too much to do, think again. My guest today is Lucia Santamaria, a transformational coach and NLP therapist who says burnout is a state of emotional, physical and mental exhaustion caused by prolonged stress, where we fulfill roles that don't align with our own internal value system. And speaking as someone who's been there, let me tell you, that sounds about right to me. But the thing that's so tricky about burnout is that it can sneak up on you without you realising. Here's Lucia to tell us about that.
I think that, you know, I like to call it the silent slide because it just does creep up on you. And we aren't really that alert to kind of noticing the signs of changes of our own behaviour. And they're normally our first port of call, but we miss them and we're already heading down there quite fast.
Yeah, I had to be told that I was suffering from burnout. But it was, you know, I'm exhausted, I'm this, I'm that. You know, you're suffering from burnout. Really? And I couldn't actually take it on board initially because I wasn't, I mean, and this was many years ago, because I wasn't, you know, I kind of wasn't really that aware of what it was. I was quite young, a lot younger than I am now. So tell us what the signs are and what we should be looking out for to make sure that we don't get to that point where we are so flat out exhausted, done.
Okay, so one of the first things I think is to be really aware that we're living in a society where always on productivity is kind of demanded of us. And it's not only demanded of us within our work and our industries, we then start to self-impose that as well. So being always on, always alert, always kind of ready to solve problems and stuff is actually a quite heightened state. So, you know, one of the first things is to really, really kind of look at how much of a percentage of your time are you functioning like that? And I think also it's one of the things that happens is that burnout is actually going to affect you emotionally, physically, mentally. So really, it's so kind of holistic how it ends up affecting you that one needs to really approach the entire problem in that way as well. But one of the things that's so dangerous about it, I think, is that if you are a really enthusiastic and passionate person and you love what you do, or you're a really busy mum and you adore your children, you know, and your job or whatever, you don't even realise that how you're functioning every single day is in fact heading you very, very fast to burnout, because it feels that the way in which you're functioning in your life is natural and appropriate.
Now, you see, that's very interesting to me because a lot of people will say that if you're enjoying what you do, if you're excited by what you do, if you're motivated by what you do, then you're not going to suffer from something like burnout, because burnout's more about forcing yourself to do something you're not really keen on.
I kind of tend to disagree. I think it can be that, and it often is, you know, one of the things that really exacerbates burnout can be when you are in a situation that you really don't enjoy, and therefore you're in a kind of prolonged state of stress. But equally, I think it can happen when you're just trying to pull off too many things all in one go, in one day. So I think one of the very first things to completely acknowledge is that your time and your energy is limited. It's really simple. However, we all think we can function, a 28-hour day, 9 days a week.
Yeah, and it's taken me many years to realise that you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? And I do love that. It's not really an alternative point of view, but I do like the fact that you've said, no, actually, anybody can go down this road and suffer from burnout, because it isn't just constant struggle against your, you know, innate nature or whatever. It's just doing too much in a world where we're expected to do everything. We can't do everything.
Exactly. And so, you know, learning one's priorities, one's core values is actually incredibly key, I would say, to being the first thing that gets you to actually get a really good bird's eye view of what you ought to make your priorities. One of the things that I think is incredibly important to kind of acknowledge also is that heightened cortisol levels can cause so many health problems. And these are, you know, these are really, every single person is prone to this. Raising your blood pressure is one of the things that happens when you are functioning at high stress. And like I say, you could be doing a career that you absolutely adore, and you're like, I'm going to stay up till 2 in the morning studying this thing, and then I'm going to write a load of emails, and I'll get up at 5 and I'll do my exercise. And, you know, it's that hyper-productivity and the always-on thing. And actually, your cortisol levels are very high because you're being reactive all the time. And so, you know, you're having this situation where your blood vessels are constricting and, you know, your heart rate is increased. And if you do that repeatedly, you're going to go into states of hypertension. And then that can be heart disease. So that's one thing that we could all suffer from. Another one is around our blood sugar levels and how cortisol, of course, raises that. And so one of the other things, of course, that can happen could be diabetes, because your blood sugar levels are running, you know, the glucose, which comes into your system in order to fire you up for a stressful situation. If you're in a stressful situation all day long, you're producing way too much glucose. So that could slide you on into diabetes way too early. And then the other thing I would say, you know, is the cortisol tire, you know, it's the stress of that visceral fat that those elevated glucose levels are going to start producing. So, you know, that's one of the things that I just want to say to people is, remember, we're all prone to these things. And this is how our body reacts. And our body's reacting in a way that's saying, don't do that to me.
It is true about the cortisol levels as well. And I've experienced that in my own life. You know, I've seen how that works. And it's not very pleasant when it happens to you. And it's not always that easy to lower those levels as well. So we've talked about what can mm-hmm. happen to us on a physical level. Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder what you or how you help people lower those cortisol levels. You know, I don't want to use the word de-stress because it's been overused so much, yeah. but yeah. get to a point where your body is functioning in a pretty normal way so that mm-hmm. you can, you know, be far more healthy.
Absolutely. So I think that there are quite a few strategies that you can employ. And one of the very, very first ones is breath work, is the breathing. It takes zero time out of your day, in fact, because you really can just sit there and box breathe in for 4 and out for 4, about 4 times, and then go in for 4 and out for 8, which is the somatic kind of breathing technique. Do that about 3 or 4 times. Everything just calms down so much more. And you actually begin to feel like, wow, got a slightly change of objectivity going on mentally for you. So I think breathing is, I couldn't emphasize it enough, really.
And I think that a lot of people, when you say, oh, well, breathing's one thing, they'll go, well, I breathe anyway, don't I? Otherwise I'd be dead. But we're talking about a focused breathing, if you like, that it does actually really slow everything down, ground you. And yeah, you're right. This gives a different perspective on life. And a
Completely.
lot of us actually probably breathe very differently and breathe maybe too fast, or a lot of us aren't breathing as we might do more healthily.
Completely. So all that shallow breathing again is not really, it's again, think about how the blood is coursing around your body, oxygen levels and so on. So, to avoid things like brain fog as well, deep breathing, and just even the minute you sort of find yourself in that feeling of sort of contraction, I quite often say to people, stop for a minute and think about what it is you're saying to me about this problem. And then feel in your body, am I contracting or am I expanding? And if you're contracting, that's telling you it's stressing you out. That's a really, again, another incredibly simple tip. Because when you think about something that is really valuable to you, makes you feel great, you immediately feel a sense of expansion. And that expansion will quite often also come from the breathing techniques as well, which is, again, really, really important. Another thing, boundaries. Obviously, creating boundaries is so difficult. Say, within your work and within your family, it can be incredibly difficult to actually say, hang on a second, I need a bit of time for myself. But I think boundaries and communication to me go hand in hand. So, how you communicate to either the people employing you or to your employees or to your family is around requesting something completely reasonable.
Yes, boundaries. Well, I've talked about boundaries with a number of guests on this show, but never in the context of burnout. Well, I don't think so anyway. It makes so much sense. It's also something that I've been very aware of recently as I've been focusing on a couple of new projects. Anyway, it's time to take a short break right now, but we'll be back with more from Lucia right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my special guest today, Lucia Santamaria, who's a transformational life coach. Now, before the break, we were talking about boundaries, but it occurs to me that so many of us are too used to just doing what we're told or following others in order to fit in or not to be judged. So I asked Lucia how she might help people get comfortable with boundary setting.
Yeah, so I mean, this is when I start bringing the core values coaching that I do into the fore. So I'll quite often start with something like looking at a wheel of life exercise, and we look at life sectioned off into the various components. So you'll be looking at your relationships, your environment, which can be within your work and your home, your career, your relationship with finance, how you feel about your romantic life, how you feel about your health. And so I take a client through the journey of looking at their life overall as a whole in that whole wheel. And we just start to look at A, where they might rate it out of 10, like how well am I doing in this? In my personal growth, I'm reading all the time, I'm meditating, doing my yoga, I'm learning And I'm doing a course in learning French, whatever. I'm going to put myself at a nine or whatever. But something else may well be, you know, you hate the place that you live, or, and it's going to be at a two. Now, then I start to go in and start to question what one values in each of these sections of your life. And that language really elicits incredible responses from people. And it has to be their language. You know, I would never prompt anybody and say, you know, is it tranquility you're looking for? No, they have to find that language because it's what's meaningful for them. And what I then do is I get you to make a note of this type of language, really make a note of all the words. And there's normally, for most people within the eight sections, a good 25 might come up. And then I would say a really simple exercise to do is to say, if I'm finding it hard to insert boundaries, which of my values here are not being met? And what do I need to emphasize within those environments? And it sort of almost gives you those keys in a way. It unlocks what those actual problems are. The actual problems are always going to be that you're going against what you value. And that's really what your soul kind of values, what really the interior of you and who you are in your absolute core needs.
Yeah, that's a really powerful exercise, and it's one which really enables people who are not used to self-reflection to get into that space where they're really getting to grips with what it who they are.
Exactly.
You know, who am I? What am I doing? What do I need? What do I want? Mm. It's really powerful, that. Fantastic. And then so after that, how do you help people go forward?
So once you've kind of elicited these core values, you're then going to look at obviously the hot areas, the problem areas. So that's what you start to focus on first, and you start to create strategy together, which, you know, will be, in fact, I think one is really emboldened and strengthened once you really come to terms with these core values of yours. You start to kind of go, yeah, hang on a second. Now that really isn't okay. Okay, I need to change it. And so I might elicit out of you, what would be the first thing you would do? You know, we do visualizations. We might do some NLP work looking at what the ultimate outcome might be, and then work our way backwards to start to create steps forwards. And it's always really great, I find, to get really deep into somebody's imagination and be like, no holds barred. Don't be in any way kind of embarrassed to share what your absolute ultimate best would be for this, because that's really worth aiming for. And it's actually surprising how quickly one can get somebody on back on that path, you know?
Yeah, isn't that what Walt Disney used to call imagineering? So you would create in your imagination what you want. Yeah. Yeah, it's very powerful.
And I think, you know, that first thing, as you say, you've suffered from burnout yourself. And when you reflect on it now, you would realise without a doubt that you weren't working from the things that value.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it took some work to find out what those were.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is important to find. I mean, I think you're right. What do I know? But I mean, I do think you're right that values are at the core of so much in our lives. And are we living according to our values? Are we living in line with our true nature? And so many of us really are not.
Completely. And I think that, you know, social media really hasn't helped. Because comparison, the thief of joy. We all know that saying. And yet we all do it because we're being bombarded with these images, but also with these sort of dictates. You know, one has to be like this. This is the way. Do this many affirmations a day. Be grateful for this. Fill out that journal. A part of me feels that can actually be quite stress-inducing in a funny way, because actually what it makes you focus on also is sort of like, you know, I am really grateful for my beautiful house and my healthy children and so on. But why am I waking up still feeling quite anxious every morning? something's amiss. And that requires inward reflection, not outward sort of answers that are very generalized and you're being bombarded with by people who don't necessarily have that much in common with you or are living lives that you would wish you could live, you know.
Yes, and be wary of the people who say, oh, really? Do you really think that that's a good idea? Well, it might not be for them, but it might well be for you, yeah.
Exactly. So one person's ideal home environment, for instance, would be, you know, busy, joyful, noisy, lots of traffic, people coming in and out. And that's what makes them feel alive. And that's what makes them also feel sort of purposeful in the midst of their family. And another person might actually value so much solitude, tranquility, you know, spending a lot of time out in the garden and nature. But everyone has those different values. But you can, in fact, so say you're incredibly busy and your house is full of traffic and you're enjoying that, but you haven't really looked at the fact that you personally have a value which sits in solitude and tranquility. It's a moment you come back to yourself. That's what we have to address. If I'm coaching somebody, we will look at what way within their schedule can we factor that in, because it is important.
Yes. Now, fantastic. But so many people don't actually realize how important that is in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have to get to that point. And, the process that you were telling us about earlier is great at getting us to that point where we realize that actually, oh, yeah, I need some quiet time. I need some me time.
Yeah.
I need to be able to recover. Recovery is so important. And sleep is so important.
Totally, because that, again, circles us right back around to elevated cortisol levels and what it does to your health. So one of the first signs as well is things like sleeplessness, things like grabbing the extra cup of coffee, things like being irritable when you had been passionately happy about something. You suddenly like, oh, God, not this again, you know? And these are all little signs that, in fact, your priorities have seemed to have kind of verged off the path in a way, you know?
Yeah, although irritability can be other causes, but, you know.
Irritability can be totally justified.
Exactly my point, yeah. It can be. But again, you know, I think a lot of people are fearful of expressing emotions as well. So they're keeping emotions inside. So if you're irritable, that's okay. That's you know, absolutely okay. Don't beat yourself up about that. If you're angry, fine, be angry, but just don't hold on to it, because these things can impact us as well.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, we've been heading through a time of this sort of hyper-positivity that I was sort of mentioning before. And I think one of the most incredible things about being a human is this absolute gamut of emotions that we are lucky enough to experience. And so being human involves getting angry, involves feeling irritated, involves moments of melancholy, sadness, all of these things. It is what is so spectacular is that we have this rainbow of emotion, but we need to be able to create the time to acknowledge what's firing those emotions and whether or not we're in a, you know, green zone or a red zone in a way around.
Yeah.
Those.
Yes.
As you say, it's incredibly important to express and get that frustration out of you, because that's very bad for your health.
Absolutely.
If it's happening again and again and again, that'll be because there's an actual crisis in a situation that needs adjusting.
Yeah, I think we've been done a disservice by the spiritual movement over the past, I don't know how many years, where we were told that everything had to be love and light and peace. And we weren't really, you know, we had to really aim for just being happy all the time. It's impossible. It's impossible to be happy all the time. Let's be real about it. Let's be real about our emotions. Let's express them, but then not hold on to them, which is where the damage arises. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we can't create a world of all unicorns and rainbows. You know, just
absolutely.
Even here in Scotland, where our national animal is a unicorn. No, can't do it.
Is it really? I never knew that.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredibly sweet. But yeah, I mean, I think, taking breaks, again, like we say, it's sort of like everything circles back and around, again, being in the moment. And that's go back to your breathing techniques. That's going to put you in the moment right now, And from that moment, you can assess much more objectively.
I worked with somebody. I was on a course with somebody who helped people develop nonverbal communication effectively so that they could present well. And he would always say everything starts with the breathing. It all starts with the breathing. Everything starts with the breathing. Life starts with the breathing, right? So get the breathing right. And it will help you move forward. But obviously sleep, values, all of those things also come into it. Yeah. It's
Yeah,
fascinating though, isn't it?
it is. I mean, well, but it's also that acknowledgement that all of these things are massively interlinked. So whilst, the kind of premise of my coaching is about core values, that's what I coach around. Obviously, how I go about coaching it is through using, all kinds of techniques because it's all has to be homogeneous, in fact. It all has to be working together in order to kind of function well and grow well.
Yes, I like that word homogeneous in that context. I've not heard that used in that context before, but absolutely right. It's that's what we have to aim for. I mean, we talk about holistic, don't we? We talk about everything, but it is everything working in synergy, everything working together well. And obviously we really don't do ourselves any service if we are separating one thing from the other and saying, oh, well, I need to just do that. Well, probably, but what else?
Totally agree. And I think so, another thing that obviously the ancient practices were so good at, things like, yoga, tantra, and so on, they're all about bringing your mind and body together and where everything comes to a much more peaceful place because you are bringing synergy back. And it's incredibly important to also tap into our imagination and learn to use our subconscious, learn to use our instincts. We're made up of all of these brilliant, brilliant facilities that we have to kind of guide ourselves through our lives and towards our purpose and all of that sort of thing. And but it does involve pulling it all together and using all of it.
This has been very up for me lately, bringing all of oneself together and finding true center. Very powerful. Well, we'll hear more from Lucia in a moment. First, it's time for another short break to hear these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm back with my guest today, the life coach Lucia Santa Maria. We're talking about burnout, and I asked Lucia what the first signs are to look out for if we thought we were heading down that path. What were the first signs she looks for?
I would say they come all together. If somebody is telling me that their sleep is really, really disturbed, if they're telling me that they can no longer sort of feel the joy in things that they used to feel joy around, and that their irritability levels are kind of up, but about sort of pretty much everything or anything. They're triggered, non-stop triggered. Those are huge signs of burnout. They're sort of great big red flags. But because we might be doing something, as I say, that we've always wanted to do, or a career that we really believe we should be in, we sort of suppress the fact that these things are happening. And then before you know it, you may find yourself ill. So these, I think, are really like three of the first signs for me, is if you're endlessly triggered if you're very tired. And then the next thing is brain fog. If you find your memory, your word retrieval, these kind of things start happening. And of course, a lot of that can be hormonal in both men and women. You know, that is again to do with spiking cortisol levels. So in some ways, it's like, yeah, what's my body telling me? I can never find the word for, you know. And the other day I had a situation again where I thought, my God, what's happening to me? And I was in a film set situation and I was saying, what is that piece of paper that has all the things written on it that tells us what to do? And it's a call sheet. Now, I've worked in the film industry for 35 years. And it's a basic document. I couldn't find call sheet in my vocabulary. That just said to me, oh, Lucia, calm down.
Yeah, but I mean, that's often associated just with age. I mean, that happens to me. I think, you're going on a bit now.
I think, but I don't think it's that. I think, you know, one can age with a really sharp and incredible mind.
You can. You absolutely can, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And really what does push us towards things like dementia and so on, again, is, you know, is our hormone levels being all out of whack and our cortisol going crazy.
Yeah.
It's one of the most dangerous ones.
Yeah, it's that's so true. And what we haven't talked about really is nutrition.
Mm.
So how important is that? And do you coach people on that as well?
I mean, I coach people around. I'm no nutritional expert and certainly never kind of purport to be, but I do feel that it's incredibly important to look at, first of all, your alcohol intake. I mean, I think, you know, again, past a certain age, our bodies start to completely change in the way that they can handle things like alcohol. And it really kind of also pushes the depression and darker states of mind. And I also sort of feel that, you know, I'm not saying stop drinking at all, but I am saying really look at why, whether or not you're using it as a crutch, if you're using it, you know, as some form of anesthetic towards stuff that's hurting you, stressing you, upsetting you. And then to also look at your food as medicine. And I just sort of think working with whole foods is really just essentially the way forward. When you look at longevity across the world and all the stats, it's always going to be around whole foods, Mediterranean, Japanese, you know, it just is very simple and it's taking great ingredients. Now, of course, you're going to have the situation of we don't know what pesticides and so on are within our food, and wherever you can afford to eat organically, do, or if you can possibly grow some of your own, amazing. But, you know, I think eating whole foods is one of the most important things you can do. And it really actually changes your life as you start to cut out anything that's been, you know, white bread, sugar, all of these kind of things. You actually start to gain a lot more kind of clarity with your mind, your memory, and all of these things. So I think food really works as a medicine for us as well. And it's going back to the homogeny of understanding mind and body are all together.
Well, anybody who has listened to my show ever knows me at all knows that I am absolutely, totally with you on that one, because and also get some wild food into your diet. Mm. You know, go and do a bit of foraging. We've got so much free food around in the countryside.
Yeah.
Now, I know that a lot of people are a bit scared about doing that because they don't really know what they're going to be picking. But some things are pretty obvious. Rose hips. I've got my eye on some rose hips at the moment. They're just getting ripe. And I'm going to do some rose hip syrup. Full of vitamin C. And, you know, I used to be given it as a child for the vitamin C content, because that was a very post-war thing, that you gave your children vitamin C and cod liver oil and and other things. But they're all good for you.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, these are all old recipes or old, you know, remedies that are actually really good for us. And we seem to not do anymore.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I just saw my postwoman walk up to my front door
And
and
she
she
just put
was
something.
waving at me. So sorry.
Oh, that's
Yes.
okay. That's
No,
okay.
I totally agree. I think those, yeah, there are a few of those sort of old-fashioned or seen to be old-fashioned kind of health remedies actually are sort of coming back again. I mean, things like cod liver oil, having fish oil,
Yes, fish oil is a thing now. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And all those vitamins from natural food products. I think, again, it's all circling back around to, you are what you eat, and that affects how you think, that affects how you behave. And I think it's wonderful to really just sort of look at this one simple kind of, I'd almost put it as a wall chart in a way, which is, look at your emotional state. Your emotional state creates the sort of thoughts that you start to have. The thoughts that you have from your emotional state are going to create the behaviors that you use, and the behaviors create the results. That simple.
Yeah, very nicely put. Very nicely put. And also, again, in terms of the way you live in your environment, just, let's just have a break from the social media. Let's have a break from our screens. Let's have a break from the TV.
Totally.
It can all add up. And especially if you're watching news programs and, all the reports of all the awful things in the world, nobody ever tells you of the great things that are going on in the world. It's always all the awful things going on in the world, and it can be very, very stressful.
Completely. And again, that so you're actually putting yourself through a stressful situation by simply endlessly scrolling and comparing yourself to other people. Or endlessly watching very, very bad news constantly. And all of these things are depressing. So then we look at what's my emotional state as I put down my devices. My emotional states are creating the thoughts, then creating my behaviors, then creating my results. Keep remembering that,
Well, I love everything that you're saying, and I think you're doing some fantastic work. So thank you very much for that, on behalf of everybody who can benefit from you and anybody who wants to benefit from your work. Where do they find out more about you and get in touch with you, I suppose?
Yeah, absolutely. I am probably it's easiest to get me through my Instagram, which is on it's called the Image Identity Coach, because I also do a lot of work around people's defining their style and confidence boosting with that,
And you
having
do a lot of creative coaching as well, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I was a costume designer in film and television for a long time. So creativity is a big passion too.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so basically, if you go to Image Identity Coach, hit on my link tree and just book yourself a discovery call. It's free. So I'll happily, talk to somebody for 40 minutes and let's just look at how I can help.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Thank you very much. So I do recommend that people go along and have a look at your website. What is your website, by the way?
It's luciasantamaria.life.
Brilliant. And yeah, go along and have a look. It's a lovely website. Lots of info on there, and you can get in touch with Lucia there. For now, thank you so much. I'd love to talk to you sometime, another time, about all the creative stuff that you do. But for now, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Lucia Santa Maria there with some wisdom we might all benefit from, whatever's going on in our lives. We could all do with checking in on our values and strengthening or even creating our boundaries. Now, as promised, it's time to talk about something that still gets a bad rap in some circles. As many of you will know, I'm a keen cold water swimmer. And I can testify to the benefits of that all day long. But there's an added benefit that I believe I get from swimming in the sea, and that's from the seawater itself. It's not only mineral rich and very likely good for the skin, but the salt is good for me too, when I'm inhaling the salt and sometimes even swallowing it, mind you. Our bodies need salt. Sodium is a useful electrolyte, and it can be a great cost-effective home remedy. Got a sore throat? Mix up some rock salt or sea salt in a little water and gargle with it for a few minutes. You'll be surprised how soothing that can be. A saline solution is great for rinsing out the nasal passages too. I remember my father used to do that if he had a cold or an infection. Sea salt or Epsom salt can soothe skin that's prone to eczema or psoriasis. And a warm foot bath using pink Himalayan salt is great for tired feet, but it's also antibacterial, so it helps if you have blisters or toe fungus. And then if you just want to detox, it's good for that too. I've got a Himalayan salt lamp at home and some tea light holders that I find relax me and help me sleep. But, you know, there are man-made therapeutic salt caves these days, rooms lined with pink salt that offer a host of benefits. It's called halotherapy or halotherapy. And these rooms aim to replicate the natural salt caves that have been recognised throughout the ages for their health benefits, particularly when it comes to our respiratory system. But you don't have to visit a salt room or salt cave. I've been testing one product on the market that's effectively a mobile salt cave. Yes, today's health product review is on an unprepossessing little device, the Cisca Salt Pipe. And once again, the company is not paying me to promote their product. This is an unbiased review. The first thing to say is that this handheld pipe gives you a very convenient way of accessing the natural healing power of salt cave therapy. It's a dry inhaler filled with salt crystals that the company say can last up to 5 years with daily use, and the way it works is simple. The salt particles you inhale react with the mucous membrane in your air passages to trigger a self-cleansing process. So in other words, it creates mucus, and that cleansing can cause a cough or a runny nose as the process takes its course, but that does pass. The makers say it helps people with asthma, allergies, bronchitis, and respiratory problems. I used the Easy Salt Pipe at $16.89 to clear a slight cough, and it was both easy and effective. You'll find it at thesaltpipe.co.uk, and for me, it's a winner. You'll find out much more about the fascinating history of salt cave therapy at their website too. That's thesaltpipe.co.uk. And that brings me to the end of the show. I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you think of everything. You can get in touch with me through my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. All my social media links are there, as well as my guide to practical alchemy, an ebook called Living Gold that you can download. And if you're feeling stressed or fatigued, you might find energy work helps. You can find out about the energy clearing work that I do at safehavenhealing.uk and book a session with me there. You'll also find some audio and video on that website that's designed to relax you, and that's all free to access. Do check out my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking, as well. And if you're hungry for more health information, why not take a look at our Health Triangle magazine? You'll find the link to that on the UK Health Radio homepage. But for now, thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Join me next time for more Practical Alchemy and more fabulous guests with great information on how to be naturally healthy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.